Hey, everybody. Here's what happened. Yeah, I don't know. I can't hear myself, but that's okay. I'll continue on with my diatribe there.
You sound good, Nate.
Thanks.
Yeah. Hey, what show is this?
What show is it?
Yeah.
What show is this?
What's the song from?
No, what are people listening to right now?
Oh, yeah, you might have forgotten. It's the Nate Darling Show. We're back.
Oh, that's what we're doing now?
Yeah.
Still almost live from Midtown.
We are. Thank you to everybody who sent along good wishes for my dad's recovery. By the time you hear this, he will be home. So everything has gone as well as it could have gone, considering everything that happened. And after a few weeks, we're back with another live show. One of the bad things that happened was upgraded to KitKat on my old tablet, and apparently my soundboard doesn't work anymore.
Hey, Google, give us a break.
So,
it's a KitKat joke.
So, yeah, we don't have any show open, so figured we'd do it this way. The gang's all here, Ted and Becca and Christiana.
This is the first time in a long time we're all together. It feels good.
A really long time. I can't remember the last one. It's been so long that Sacramento comedian Keith Lowell Jensen, who I ran into on a playground, said, "It's too bad you quit the podcast." And I was like, "I didn't."
It's too bad you quit?
Well, he was like, "No, did you quit? You're not on the podcast." And I'm like, "No, I just, because I was gone, and then... And then Nate was gone, and then I was gone, and then...
And I was gone at some point, too. Only Ted is consistent.
And I think what happened was some of the classic episodes that got pulled happened to be shows where you were away.
Yeah.
And that wasn't by design. It just sort of happened that way.
I'm still here.
Because of the six that went up on the site, because they went up just like promised, Wednesday and Friday for everybody, at least two of them had Kareem sitting in. Kareem Daniels, so... Hey, and congratulations to Keith Lowell Jensen. He got into SF Sketchfest.
Yeah, Johnny Taylor.
Good job.
Johnny Taylor did too.
Gentlemen.
Yay.
We weren't talking about Johnny Taylor. Fuck Johnny Taylor. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
No, I'm excited for both of them. It's not easy to get into SF Sketchfest.
And Christiana's favorite, Carlos Rodriguez, also got in. If you're going to bring in. Those are the three Sacramento comedians that I know that got in.
It's a few
I don't have a problem with him. He might have a problem with me.
I
don't know.
Fight. There was a thing.
Well, that's awesome. Sacramento represent.
Oh, yeah.
I was in the sketch troop in the San Francisco Sketchfest so long ago. And I was on the up-and-coming team's show, and then we could never get in after that. I guess they were just like, "You're up-and-coming? No,
yeah,
never
didn't.
Mind.
You never got there.
No, we never
That's
did.
Terrible.
We never did. But Keith was also in that group, and now he's made it on his own. So
should have
good
a,
job,
a
Keith.
A down-and-leaving category.
You know what's cool on people trying to get into stuff that I learned today?
What's up?
Is that Betsy Sodaro, friend of Sacramento comedy scene... I'm the president of her unofficial fan club, or a stalker.
Mm-hmm.
Don't really know which.
Probably the latter.
But she's in a commercial that's up for voting to be like the Doritos ad for the Super Bowl. Because you know Doritos does like a crowdsourced or a people whatever, and you can vote on it. So it's her, and it's the monkey from Animal Practice, which is a bit of a spoiler alert for the ad. But you should look it up and vote for Betsy because I just think it's cool.
Is it on like Doritos.com or
something
like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, okay, I'll totally look that up. I know you always keep me apprised of Betsy's, whatever project she's working on. And so because of you, I knew to listen for her voice when we went to see Monsters University the other day. Yep. as she said, she plays the fat goth monster.
Mm.
Yep.
So coming up on the show today, Florida Corner returns.
Yeah. Did it ever leave, really?
Well, I posted a couple of things to the Facebook page just to keep people in the know. It was the 50th anniversary of JFK's assassination, so we have a tape of him being mad about the USA hockey team. We'll play that for you. Rush Limbaugh, he's got some things to say. We'll hear from him. And
he always has something to say.
Mm-hmm. He's got a show every day.
He's got time to fill. Yeesh.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk Rob Ford. Because we have to talk
why
Rob
not?
Ford.
Oh my God, that's just like a whole stack of blowhards.
Well, JFK, well, blah, blah, blah.
Well, no, JFK is a good guy, but you said we have a tape of JFK being mad.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rush Limbaugh, like any tape of Rush Limbaugh is Rush Limbaugh being mad. No. And then like Rob Ford going off about, nah.
But first, there was some weather in L.A.
New video that is just into our newsroom from the war. Puddles building up there.
Our team is standing by.
It has been raining hard off and on, but right now it's not too bad.
Just within the past few minutes or so, the wind started picking up a little bit, and it has started drizzling a little bit.
We're talking about a good soaking mist or drizzle.
Wow, this weather is affecting everything.
Over in downtown L.A., drivers who didn't slow down ran into this huge puddle. Woo!
And in terms of that perfect hairstyle, well, almost impossible on a day like today.
Behind me, you can see the wet sidewalks from the rain earlier this evening. There are even some caution signs out here warning people of these slippery conditions.
Oh, whoa, well, it's more serious than I thought.
So Jimmy Kimmel strung together some of the on-the-spot weather reports.
It's not like it's different anywhere.
Oh, but it is because that was it was maybe a tenth of an inch of rain that fell.
No,
we should send them money. It's like the Philippines. I think it's pretty much on the same. With that.
Hair apocalypse.
Oh,
is there a Red Cross text number we can automatically donate $10 for hairspray?
Oh no, I never freak out over the storm watch ever because it's like the only reason local news really like. I think in some towns you get good local news coverage. Like I appreciate since I'm a government nerd. Being in Sacramento, since the hometown industry is government, you get a lot more better quality like Capitol reporting. But pretty much the point of local news is like, what's the weather?
Mm-hmm.
And okay, I'll just watch shots of weather around my region. And like, what's the traffic?
Well, traffic and weather are the two big things, especially in the morning. But
so
there,
it's okay.
But there's other things that are going on. But yeah, it's a lot of overreacting.
It's a big deal down there.
Sure. Sure.
When you super cut it like that, I mean, I don't think it was 30 minutes of coverage.
No, but it rained earlier and whoo, your hair. So that figured we start out with something light to move into Rob Ford. He's the mayor of Toronto. And
for long.
Oh, I don't know about that. The election is next year, next October. People can vote him out of office. In the meantime, the Toronto City Council has stripped a lot of his powers away. So he basically now has the same powers as the mayor of Sacramento.
How could he just not resign? That's so, I don't know, audacious.
Well,
just stick around.
Well, he held a press conference, too, one day while we were away. And this is what he said.
We're going to have to spank the little tiger cats. Oh, and the last thing was Olivia Gondek. It says that I wanted to eat her pussy, Olivia Gondek. I've never said that in my life to her. I would never do that. I'm happily married. I've got more than enough to eat at home. Thank you very much.
Anything that was true.
It's all right. It's all right. It's all right.
I know we're up live right now, but I don't know if we can. Mayor Ford speaking as Mayor Ford does very plainly, as he said in council yesterday, he effed up, and now using language that I don't think we can broadcast that on TV, but we just broadcast that on TV.
Yes, they did.
Yep.
Is that, let me ask you ladies, is that a compliment if your man were to come out and say, I have more than enough pussy to eat at home?
A compliment, is it?
I suppose. I mean,
trying to see the bright side, Ted.
I mean, good on you, girlfriend. I guess if you guys enjoy an active give and take relationship. But I would say the final like death knell of his mayorship will be if she comes out and is like, "That is false. He does not do that. He does not get credit for it."
Right.
That's what I want to know.
Foreplay deficient.
Right.
I have to confess that my entire knowledge of Rob Ford and his doings comes from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
So
which was good this weekend. They had a good bit on that.
But that's actually a live press conference that he had.
Was he on crack at the time?
No, that's just him.
That's just him. Oh.
He has admitted to smoking crack. His defense of that he was smoking crack was that he was blackout drunk.
Oh. Okay.
So he doesn't really recall if he did or not, but he probably did because he was drunk.
Well, as a someone who's I guess he's not really a lawmaker. Yeah, he is a lawmaker.
Yeah. Yeah,
as a lawmaker, he's obviously clear that is a defense for anything that you, sorry, I'm getting really distracted because the cat is
in the bag,
bag,
not out of the bag.
And he has more than enough to eat at home. Sorry, I'm just, that was a terrible callback. Somebody stop me from talking now.
Well, you never answered the question at hand. Was
what was the question?
The question at hand is, if your man were to say he has more than enough to eat at home, would you be flattered by that?
I don't think so. I think I would be really surprised if Ted used language like that. I don't know. I think part of... No, that's too much information.
I don't think it comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody stop me from talking again. I think it's important in a relationship. And granted, everybody has different things. But you got to kind of keep things a little bit private and under wraps. And if you're at a press conference being like, oh, yeah, I got more than enough to eat at home. Like, even if you are a great lover, like, presuming Rob Ford is, if you're up there like, yappity, yap, yap, yap. Like, that's not sexy. And that's not going to make me feel good as his partner.
More than enough.
So
it's not like I have too much pussy at home to eat as it is.
Yeah, my first thought was, how big is her vagina?
Right.
nothing about any of that.
It's like two meals.
Nothing about any of that or him is okay.
No.
It's just not.
Yeah.
Time and place.
The interesting thing is, as over the top as the Saturday Night Live impression of him is, it's not out of the realm. It's actually not even over the top.
No,
it's like barely.
Outdo you. No problem.
They will outdo the whole thing. But there's plenty of people in Toronto who are all for keeping him.
Because he's entertaining.
Yeah. He does draw attention. The Toronto Argonauts, as he started that talking about spanking the Tiger Cats, he was talking about CFL football. He was wearing a Toronto Argonauts jersey. And the team's social media director had to take to Twitter basically saying that they wished he wouldn't wear the team's jersey when he was doing press conferences anymore. And then he showed up for the game wearing the same jersey the next day. Because
he wasn't
care.
Doing a press conference at that point.
No,
he
was
at
not.
The game, so.
Well, what they urged him to do was not focus on football, but to maybe focus on himself. It was a very Canadian thing to do. So, moving on from Rob Ford and his crack, or as he's known, the crack-smoking mayor of Toronto.
And his wife's crack. It was a pussy joke. It was hilarious. Did everyone get it now?
Thanks, Ted.
Oh, dear.
I've been working on material.
From Elite Daily, a big butt is a healthy butt. Women with big butts are smarter and healthier.
Smarter and healthier?
Yeah, we are.
Well, scientists from the University of Oxford have discovered that women with larger than average butts are not only increasingly intelligent, but also very resistant to chronic illnesses. According to ABC News, the results found that women with bigger backsides tend to have lower levels of cholesterol and are more likely to produce hormones to metabolize sugar. Therefore, women with big butts are less likely to have diabetes or heart problems. And having a big butt requires an excess of omega-3 fats. What? Which have been proven to catalyze brain development. The researchers also found that the children born to women with wider hips are intellectually superior to children of slimmer, less curvy mothers.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's what Mix-a-Lot meant when he said shake that healthy butt. It was really a healthy butt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Having a big butt also favors leptin levels in the female body, which is a hormone responsible for regulating weight, and another one which I can't pronounce, a hormone with anti-inflammatory, vascular protective, and anti-diabetic attributes.
But I bet that all gets blown out of the water if you have a big butt and a lot of viscera fat, because isn't the spare tire fat the kind that gives you heart disease and diabetes and kills you? So maybe you're just like, if you can have a big everything, are you just even?
These are the questions.
No, well, I don't know. I think you make a good point.
Probably not.
Because there's a difference between a woman of healthy weight with a larger backside and an obese woman who has
a big butt.
Exactly.
And big everything else.
So it's a relative big butt.
Yeah.
Okay.
So according to this, Kim Kardashian, brilliant.
There's another good SNL
just
sketch.
Just ask Kanye. He'll tell you so.
Absolutely brilliant. So good news, ladies. Keep that round booty going.
Shake that healthy butt.
Yeah.
Baby got back.
Now, one of the other things that happened while I was away that sort of caught the imagination.
Oh, man.
Of the world, really.
Oh, yeah, that was sweet.
It happened in San Francisco. The day dawned blue and warm. Perfect story. Perfect weather for a robbery, or so the Penguin thought. Well, saving the day was... while raising the spirits of a major U.S. city was pint-sized Miles Scott. See, Miles is in remission from leukemia, and thanks to a Make-A-Wish Foundation, managed to turn his obsession with comic book heroes into the real thing. Almost. There was no way Penguin was going to get away with anything that Friday. Thousands of San Franciscans responded to an avalanche of social media blasts lining the streets wherever Miles and a full-size Batman swooped into action. At Hyde and Green Streets, there was a damsel in distress to rescue, and the Bat duo arrived in a Lamborghini with Batman decals. On Montgomery Street, a burgled bank vault needed to be liberated, and at Union Square, there was a Hamburglar to down. Just restores your faith in humanity, said Carmen Q.
A Hamburglar?
Hamburglar.
What's Batman doing against the Hamburglar?
Oh, sorry, there was a hamburger to down. Sorry.
Okay. It's like, would McDonald's sponsor this? All right, go ahead.
Wouldn't it be awesome if they did, though?
That'd be sad and scary.
He also went to AT&T Park and freed Lucille.
Yeah, Lucille was captured by the Penguin or the Riddler? The Penguin?
Yeah. Maybe this Penguin.
Yep, it was a big deal. And wherever he went, and this was the cool thing, people showed up by the thousands.
Yeah.
And I love it. That's awesome.
That was the one thing that I saw that. And that, you know, as I was watching that, and that was a bit of an emotional upheaval at the time. But as you watch that coverage, it was really hard not to get a little misty.
Uh-oh. Nate's getting soft on us, guys.
Given my mix of friends, I was shocked that it took until about 5:30 p.m. for one of them to bust out on Facebook like, enough with the Bat Kid. This is such a waste of resources. Like, aww. I can't believe. And I was like, all right, dude, it's okay. I actually respect it because you're the only one like I really had. There were six or seven people of the sort of tea party variety that I was just like, when are you going to say it? Say it. So the end, it did cost the city about $150,000, mostly for the party they had in the Civic Center.
Mm.
So, but they did say it didn't mess with any police coverage for the day. They didn't incur any overtime costs. They just reallocated officer patrol routes.
Yeah.
And it so delighted the world.
Yeah.
It was on NBC Nightly News. That's where I saw the story. I was back in Vermont. I saw that. And it made me proud. It made me proud of people for coming together and doing something nice. I had a lot of things that happened over the 3 weeks that I was away that people that did sort of nice things that were just unexpected or, you know, not really. It was just weird, random things that happened. And you call it whatever you want, but it's just one of those things that sort of makes you feel good when people do something like that. And this was obviously a very big one where people all over the city decided to skip out on. I think it was more people just wanted to skip out on work.
Probably.
They're like, hey, everybody.
Bat Kid needs us.
Let's go support the Bat Kid. Bye, boss. We're leaving.
Mm-hmm. It's
we're going to wait right here outside this bar.
It's Friday at noon. Bat Kid's going to be by. We're going to be taking care of all that.
It's my volunteer work for the year. Oh, yeah.
I kind of hope that Make-A-Wish leverage that into a whole shit ton of fundraising. That kind of exposure.
Yeah.
Because not every wish is that big. No. Not every, you know, kids who have wishes that big, it may not work out. But I hope that they can leverage, you know, because that all would have cost more than, you know, a lot of in-kind donating of support and whatever.
Right.
And I hope people, like, give to that charity if they think that's cool.
The person who's granted the most wishes is John Cena from WWE. He has done the most Make-A-Wish greetings. But the most common thing that people, that kids wish for is go to Disney World or Disneyland.
Oh, nice.
So we saw a ton of Make-A-Wish kids the day that we went to Disneyland, all in their jackets. There was a huge group of them on Star Tours with us. They looked like they were having a blast.
Yeah.
I just would cry. Like, I already am kind of prone to tearing up at Disneyland. I don't know why. I just like, it's so magical.
Oh, yeah. It's so magical. Yeah. Me too.
And I think if I was there for that, I just would have been a blubbering mess, like having to sit down for the rest of the day.
All right. Well, it's time for a little bit of Cooler Tool. I'm going to go back to the original Cooler Tool music.
Nice. Ooh. Retro.
It's old school, y'all.
Yeah.
Whoa.
All right. First up in Cooler Tool, Rob Ford. Ted.
Is this a trick question? Obviously, he's a cool guy. Oh, wait. No. He's kind of a tool. Kind of a crack fiend who this is his wife's pussy.
That's
why I don't like him, actually.
Ted's not in favor of cunnilingus.
No, I'm pro-cunnilingus. Like, oh, I have more than enough at home. It just doesn't seem very complimentary.
Becca, what say you?
He's a tool, but I'm really enjoying the Saturday Night Live parody, so I recommend those to everyone.
Christiana, you're into politics. What do you think of Rob Ford?
Tool, because I'm tired of I'm tired of entitled white dudes doing shit like this, not leaving office quietly, showing no actual remorse, and the world learns nothing except further contempt for elected officials.
Yeah, he is very rich, and he did have a reality show with his brother. Lasted one episode because it took them 5 hours to shoot it and 8 hours to edit it because he's on crack. He's he's a tool. Up next in Cooler Tool, Big Butts, Becca.
Cool.
Christiana.
Cool, sure, yep. Mm-hmm.
Ted?
Totally cool. There's a song about them.
Yeah, it's
a classic. Like one of the greatest songs of our time, I think. I'm not exaggerating.
No, I agree.
It really is. It's seminal. Such a good song. Yeah.
And finally.
Wait, Nate, you didn't weigh in on that one.
They're cool.
All right.
And finally in Cooler Tool, the people of San Francisco.
Ooh,
Christiana.
Tricky one.
I mean, in context of this story, cool, I will carve out burners.
Okay.
Because I don't know if I can call them cool or not.
Ted?
I'm a San Francisco native, so I guess I have to say they're cool, but I say it with some hesitancy. So go San Francisco.
Becca?
Well, both my mother and my boyfriend are from San Francisco, so definitely cool.
In this context, the people in San Francisco are absolutely cool. Because I don't know if there's another city where people would have come out like this. Some people in New York will argue that...
I don't know. I think they would have. I think any major city, they would have done this.
I disagree.
Oh. I think they would have.
Well, I disagree. So I think they're cool.
Good job, San Francisco.
So there you go.
You got the name.
I don't think that San Francisco is any less cool if other cities would have done it as well. I think any city could have had a moment on this story, you know.
Cool.
The world's not quite as full of assholes as it sometimes makes itself out to be.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have included Lucille.
No. That's,
fair.
That,
fair.
That is absolutely true. So that's Cooler Tool. Thank you, everybody.
Oh, thank you.
We made it through the old-timey...
old-timey.
The old-timey. Hey, the show's been around for 2.5 years, kids.
Dang,
that was like on a player piano, everyone.
Every now and then, though, what's weird about Spotify is if you don't play a song for a while, it will tell you, hey, you haven't played this song in a while. What's up? And because I used to play that every show, so I played it once a week for Cooler Tool, it suddenly was saying, why haven't you listened to Adam Tensta? And I go, because it's not a good song. But it fits. So there you go. And we went back to him.
It's weird that Spotify would be that concerned about it.
Yeah, they were very concerned.
It's like a passive-aggressive girlfriend or something. Like,
oh, my God.
Why haven't you? You haven't seen anything in a while.
Nate, are you mad at Adam? What happened?
Well, and here's the other thing about Spotify. We'll go, this song was popular when you were in high school.
No,
would you like to
cool.
listen to it?
I don't need that.
And I'm like, no, I hated the music when I was in high school. It's crap.
Oh, no, I love it. I just don't need to be reminded of the age of songs or me.
Can you realize it's been 20 years since this song came out?
Yeah, fuck you, radio.
Yeah,
I don't need
up,
that.
Spotify.
You know, yeah, you know the baby on the Nirvana album cover? He's in his 20s.
Oh.
He's in AARP now.
One thing Spotify tells me is like, literally, Keith Lil Jensen's been listening to a lot of The Cure lately. Do you want to listen? Like, do I need to call him and ask me? He's okay. Are you depressed, Keith? A lot of The Cure.
You really? That would be so awesome to just randomly send people notes based on their Spotify playlist.
Right.
Are you okay? You seem down. You're like, what are you talking about?
You listen to a lot of Morrissey and The Cure. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm worried about you.
I'd be down if I listened to Morrissey and The Cure, too.
Exactly.
So they had some political reform in the Senate, I believe it was.
Very limited procedural reform.
Mm-hmm. To keep the minority from being able to filibuster and stop things from happening.
Can we contextualize this a bit and point out how many times they blocked Obama's attempts to nominate judges, like more compared to past times? Wasn't like 82...
Half of the times in the history of the country have occurred during Obama's administration.
Right.
And the other half are spread out over 43 other presidents.
Right. Yeah. So it wasn't just, we are Democrats, we want control. It's like, you guys are being assholes.
And I think it is limited just to this type of vote, just with confirmations,
okay.
I think.
Just want to put that out there. It wasn't...
Yeah, it's basically a
not
way
that we're defensive or anything about the president. It's fine. I mean, we're just the facts, okay?
These are facts.
He's
not
okay.
defensive.
I don't have a bias here.
But
at all.
He is getting a hard time. So
very hard time. That's
it's
crazy.
True. So Rush Limbaugh took to the airwaves because that's what he does. He has a show. It's the Rush Limbaugh program on the EIB network. That's Excellence in Broadcasting. If you weren't aware,
is that what the B? What's the little symbol? It's
an E. I B,
like,
excellence in broadcasting.
Looks like,
it looks like two boobs back to back. I know.
Or That wasn't what I was going to go for. It looks like the symbol that Ricky Lake uses for her Better for Babies campaign to like lower cesarean rates. And it's just such, that's not, I see that in it every time. I'm like, that's weird. It looks, no, it's, that's, well, they would not be friends.
Yeah, that's been his logo for a long time, too. So probably longer than Ricky Lake has been fighting for.
Probably. And they don't look that much alike. They just look, it looks kind of like a butterfly if you look at it from.
Okay. I'll buy that.
I don't know.
Well, let's listen to what Rush has to say about the whole thing.
Can I shoot myself first?
No.
Damn it.
Democrats had voted against it. I knew he was one of them.
Oh, shut up.
Because he recognizes this is bad. And it is. It's. Let's forget the Senate for a minute.
Let's say
10 people.
Sure.
In a room, and they're a group. And the room is made up of 6 men and 4 women.
Okay, what we're about to hear is
bad math.
It's more of a false equivalency.
Okay,
I don't know if it's technically a straw man argument, but it's definitely a false equivalency.
Okay. The group has a rule,
right?
That the men cannot rape the women.
That's the rule.
I'm with you so far.
I'm on board.
The group also has a rule that says any rule that will be changed must require 6 votes of the 10 to change the rule.
Yes.
Every now and then, some lunatic in the group proposes to change the rule to allow women to be raped.
Yeah, that would be a lunatic move.
But they never were able to get 6 votes for it.
Right.
Even though
there were always
men,
the 4
so
women
sure
voting
couldn't.
Against it, and there was found 2 guys. Well, the guy that kept proposing that women be raped finally got tired of it. He was in the majority. He was one of them. He said, you know what? We're going to change the rule. Now all we need is 5.
You are an unspeakable human being.
And you can't do that. Yes, we are. We're the majority.
Yes,
we're changing.
You are. I'm glad to admit to it, you fucking douchebag.
And then they vote. Can the women be raped?
He just passed the time, but there were long pauses, right?
All it would take then is half the room. You can change the rule to say 3.
Shut up.
You can change the rule to say 3 people want it. It's going to happen.
That's how procedure works. You fucking deal with
There's
it.
There's no rule.
Why?
When the majority can change the rules, there aren't any.
No, that literally is how democracy works.
Right.
I mean, quite literally, at every possible level, from Robert's Rules of Order to Mason's Manual to legislature, city councils, water board, school district,
right.
Waste management, special districts, to Congress, the Senate, and everything in between. Yes, the majority can save the rules. Now, for that infrequent time, when the majority is acting in a tyrannical fashion, say Prop 8, for instance, and really trammeling like minority group rights, yes, then you take it to the court. But this kind of thing, you're wrong. Which kind of goes without saying, because we knew that when we started the story with, here's what Rush Limbaugh said.
But I think a lot of people just go, oh, it's Rush Limbaugh, so it doesn't make it, you know, it's whatever. I think it's important to listen to what people like Rush Limbaugh actually say rather than what someone like, say, Rachel Maddow says they say or Bill Maher says they say, so that you can actually hear it coming out of their mouth yourself. And then you can make up, now this one's pretty easy, but you can make up your own mind if what they're saying is absolutely absurd and ludicrous, as opposed to just falling in line. Because I think the danger that people who have a little bit more of a liberal viewpoint do on things is it's the same thing. You fall into that same trap. Well, I was listening to NPR, and NPR said,
okay,
NPR.
They're not.
No.
Don't lump them in.
Well, I'm just using them as an example.
That's like a straw NPR
okay.
argument.
Okay, fine.
So go back to Rachel Maddow. There
okay,
you go.
Rachel Maddow.
It's better.
So Rachel Maddow was saying this, and Rachel Maddow told me this, and Rachel Maddow this, and whatever. But you never go and listen to the source. And it's the same thing as people who listen to Rush Limbaugh and go, well, Rush said this, and Rush said this, and Rush said this. Whether it's right or wrong on either side, you're falling victim to the same thing. So I encourage people every now and then to tune into this silliness, if only for 5 minutes, just to hear the arguments that are being put forth on their own.
Okay, Nate, as a professionally trained radio DJ, was there not a lot of superfluous noise in that? I never listened to his show. There's so much snorting and lip smacking and paper rattling. Like, I don't know. I feel like you would never let us get away with stuff like that on even on this podcast.
No, well, the other thing he does is he will rattle paper on its own as a point of reference, but. Let's not forget
this.
To make
it seem like he's got a sore. So all this paper says.
He's like tapping the whole time he was talking.
Yeah, he does that. He does that. He does that to make his. It is. That could be that. And let's not forget, he's a drug user, prescription drug user in the past. But he doesn't have anybody to talk to. That's the thing about his show. He takes calls. But for the most part, it's a 3-hour monologue.
Diatribe.
Yeah, and he goes on and on, and he'll read a story. You know how I read a story and then we talk about it? He reads a story and then he pauses and goes, well, here's what it means. And there's nobody in the room to go, really? Is that what you really think? What's going on with X, Y, or Z? And not that you have to have a completely diametrical opposed viewpoint to what you're doing, but all I'm saying is listen with your own ears every now and then, because quite often, it's even more horrifying than what you're being told.
That's true.
So, yeah, don't just go, oh, well, I heard it on here and blah, blah, blah. Because a lot of people do that with The Daily Show. And I'm just saying, maybe once a month, pop on Limbaugh and listen for 5 minutes or until you want to yell at your radio.
So what we were supposed to learn from that is that the Democrats are secretly voting to rape women.
The Democrats are
secretly... No, except they could.
Basically, the false equivalency he's trying to put in people's head with that is that by doing what they're doing, they are raping the American people, doing things against their will. It's a very subtle thing. I mean, it doesn't sound subtle, but there's a lot of subtext to what he's saying, which makes it even more insidious.
It's not fair.
So
you want to be in the majority, run some legit candidates.
Yeah. Well, they are the majority in the House.
I know.
So there you go.
Not in the Senate still, thank God.
Well, it's good to have a balance of power.
Mm-hmm. That way nothing gets done.
Yeah. So JFK, still dead after 50 years, but I know. Sorry. This just in. JFK is still dead. But JFK was not very happy when the USA hockey team lost. Let's take a listen.
Dave, I noticed in the paper this morning where the Swedish team beat the American hockey team 17-2.
Swedish.
That's a pretty pathetic loss, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Saw that. Christ, who are we sending over there? Girls?
Girls?
Girls? defend your boy.
Good one, Jerry.
Sorry.
What?
Hey, you haven't won a game. I know it. I mean, who got him up? I don't know. I can check into it. God, we got some pretty good hockey players.
I wasn't born yet.
Yeah. Well, I suppose they're all playing in their college teams, are they, or something? I'd like to find out whether it was done. Under what, who sort of sponsors it and what kind of players they've got. Because I think it's a disgrace to have a team that's 17-2. That's about as bad as I've ever heard, isn't it?
And they've been beaten by everybody by scores almost equal to that.
Yeah, so it's, obviously we shouldn't send a team unless we can send a good one. Will you find out about it?
You get the feeling he's at breakfast in the morning, reads a score, and is like, makes the comment anyone would make, like, who's even playing for this team? What's going on? And then goes, wait a minute, I'm the president. I can find out who's playing for the team and what's going on.
Get
somebody
on
get me someone on the phone. Yep. We're going to fix this.
Who are we sending over there, girls?
Oh, ridiculous.
Well, to be fair, it was early Mad Men era, so that's perfectly acceptable language for that time period.
People would say that now.
Oh, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Commonly.
Oh, yeah. It's true.
Yeah. Maybe not the president, hopefully, but...
No, he's outnumbered 3-1 by girls. His wife and two daughters.
The Obamas.
Yeah, the Obamas. I'm pretty sure he minds his P's and Q's. Well, there was a point where they asked him about quitting, about smoking. He goes, I haven't had a cigarette in 2 years. And somebody said, why? He goes, I'm afraid to death of Michelle.
Angry black woman.
So, well, you know, she cares
no
about his
health. No innocent comments.
And,
nothing go.
Got a new study about relationships, says that even if a guy texts you a lot, that doesn't mean he's in love with you.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a new study published in the Journal of Couple and Relationship Therapy.
That's a journal?
Mm-hmm.
That's a journal for everything.
You don't get it? Anyway, 276 men and women around age 22 in meaningful relationships were surveyed.
Define meaningful.
At 22. Yeah.
That's why this is all sort of tongue-in-cheek.
I'd like to call back to an earlier joke about what makes it meaningful, but I'm just going to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, Nate, how old were you when you got married the first time?
26.
Okay, so 22 is really young to have a meaningful relationship, like for all of us here.
It is. My person I married was 22 at the time.
So. Did you text her a lot? No, there wasn't texting probably back then.
I telegraphed.
How dare you?
No, I'm serious. There probably wasn't.
No, I did not have a cell phone at the time. Among participants, 38% were in serious relationships, 46% were engaged, and 16% were married. Each participant agreed that they used text to communicate with their significant others. Now, those who sent loving messages also reported higher satisfaction with their relationship. In this case, texting as a way of communicating loving messages or messages of relationship validation was an effective way to enhance. In terms of volume, men who texted more often in general reported lower relationship quality than those who didn't ping their significant others as frequently. Researchers can only speculate about why, because that's what researchers do.
Needs further study.
But suspect that as men disconnect from a relationship or consider a breakup, they replace face-to-face interactions with the less intimate communication in form of increased texting.
This would have been an unnecessary study if they just talked to a bunch of like 18-year-old girls.
Yeah.
He's not texting as much anymore.
No. He's texting more than ever.
More? But when he wants to break up?
He doesn't want to see
me. Instead of facing,
yeah, because he doesn't answer the phone.
Yeah.
Women who texted more reported higher quality connections with their partners, citing that they used texting to work out problems and differences with their relationship
hit
rough waters. Women were reported to make up via text, which scientists believe is the online version of needing to talk things out.
Huh.
I never, ever solve or consider relationship problems via text. Like, Ted and I, our texts are like today he was like, did you remember your headphones? And I was like, yeah, see you tonight, XOXO. I mean, that's our text. Yeah. We're never like, so we need to talk. Let's go in separate rooms and do it at like 120 characters a piece, you know?
Yeah, that's a weird way of doing it, but hold on.
I mean, has any...
Boyfriend.
Hold on.
And it says that,
what's going on?
Anarchy.
We've lost control.
I mean, does anybody here, like, have you had, like, a meaningful fight or a meaningful relationship discussion via text?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
I just thought of it, yeah.
Oh.
I did have, there was one significant exchange I could think of. Well, I mean, there was the initial, like, some initial flirtatious, you know, cutesy text of, like, oh, what does this mean? But I know I could think of two at a very, like, critical point in my relationship where there was a text. It was a text on the heels of a voice conversation that was, like, clarifying something or whatever that was, it was good. There may have been crying involved that day, listening or looking at the waves at Ocean Beach and listening to Keen.
Aww.
Oh dear God.
One does when you're depressed and studying for the bar, but it's okay now.
Studying
for the bra. I don't know what that means, for the bar. And yeah, but it all worked out okay because we're married now, so see. So.
Yeah, there you go. You know what? I tend to avoid that because there's way too much room for interpretation of the written word as opposed to when you're actually having a face-to-face conversation. So if I'm in a situation where it would be a, let's say, fight or serious discussion or disagreement of some kind, I'm going to not want to text.
Yeah.
Because it just, there's so many, everything reads like a woman talks when you text. So you can type, how are you? Fine. Then it's just like, oh, well, what does that mean? So it then becomes the interpretation of what's written there, because there's no context of vocal inflection. There's no reading of the eyes. There's no body language. It's just very stark. It's black and white, but unclear.
I see that.
Which is one of my favorite phrases.
I'm just remembering for some reason this popped into my head that the person I dated a few years ago before I swore off dating for about 2 years because of how that relationship went. I remember we were having a disagreement and I can't even remember what it was about, but I was at the Comedy Spot and it was like 10 minutes till showtime or whatever. So I was like, okay, I have a show to do now. I will not be near my phone for the next hour. And I turned off my phone, went on stage, did the show, came back, and I had 27 text messages from this person.
No.
And it was over shortly thereafter.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That was no good.
No, it was not good.
I had an email exchange, not texting, but the same dangers of like tone and meaning and whatever. And somebody said, made like what the person thought was sort of a throwaway comment, but caught me at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused an unfortunate E unloading.
Oh.
Where I was like, you say this, and when you say this, this is what I feel. I think I handled it. It was a rather mature unloading, but I still feel really bad about doing it. And then the person was like, I did not know that you felt that way. I am terribly sorry if that's the message that my email conveyed. And I'm like, okay.
And
damn it.
And that's,
walk away from the keyboard.
And that's why I don't have those sort of.
Yeah.
It'll start. I will always say, let's talk about it in person.
Yeah.
I don't want to have this exchange via text or via chat. I just don't.
Okay, but will you make the effort to go meet up with them right at that time? Because it's hard sometimes when you're upset to be like, oh, we'll just talk about it when we see each other in our date in 3 days.
Well, you know, sometimes it can't be right at that time because you're at work or whatever, but you should make a time to, I would try to make a time to say, let's talk about it this time or whatever. Or I will call you, and then you can at least have you at least have vocal inflections so that you're not having the fight via text, because it never works out well. It never, I mean, great illustration.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you read it, whatever mood you're in, and there's no filter, there's no buffer. It's like, oh, this is how I feel. Boom.
And I was so mad at myself because I spend a not insignificant amount of time at my day job counseling people against, like, don't. You know,
right.
You have the right to respond to this email you got from your boss. However, this is what I want you to do. Take a scratch piece of paper. Don't do it on anything electronic so you don't accidentally hit send. Like, write out all your feelings, then throw it away, and then go back. Like, it's this whole, like, don't do it. Do not send the message, not whatever. And
then
Shoemaker's
you did it.
Kids, man. And then I did it. Yeah.
So that'll happen. Since this is our Thanksgiving show and we're not really doing a full Thanksgiving show as I did last year, let's go around the room, and I'll start because I'm throwing this at you guys sort of last minute. Let's sort of talk about some of the things that we're thankful for this year. So,
Becca's happy place.
Becca's going to her happy place. Ted's going to his phone.
To my happy place.
Yeah. I'm not judging. Just saying. So a little Thanksgiving music to.
They want to hear a Thanksgiving song.
I'll play that underneath because we're thankful. Yeah. Obviously, the thing I'm most thankful for right now, because it's very top of mind, is my dad's health, my dad's recovery. My dad had a stroke, and when I talked to the doctor, things didn't necessarily seem like they were going to be going very well. He improved very rapidly. Before I even got on the plane back home, he had improved a lot. And like I said before, he's going to be home by the time anybody hears this show. So that, considering where we were a few weeks ago and where he is right now, I'm incredibly thankful for that, because I wasn't ready to lose both my parents in the span of 8.5-9 months. So I'm thankful for that. I'm also thankful for my own health, because I've been able to be a lot more healthier now than I was a year ago. And I put a lot of work into it, and I earned it. And so I'm very thankful for that I was able to do that without anything to sort of derail me, because I understand that that happens as well for a lot of people. I'm thankful for this show, that we've been able to keep going through changing of co-hosts, through 2.5 years of doing it, and to be able to do a show that we can be proud of, two shows a week that we can be proud of, and just put them out to people so that they can listen to them as they go about their daily lives, and maybe, you know, give them a diversion as they're going through hard times, as everybody does from time to time. So I'm thankful for the show, and I'm thankful to all of the people that I encountered that did something to make me feel a little bit better, whether they realized it or not, because I think that's kind of a big deal. So those are the big things I'm thankful for. There's a lot of little things, like, of course, my friends, my family, in that, but those are the big things. Becca, what about you? What are you thankful for this year?
Oh, I have big ones this year. I'm super thankful that I have a job after I was unemployed for 14 months. I seriously, every day that I'm at work, I'm like, I have a job. And it's not just a job, but it's like
an adventure.
Well, no, but it's a job that I understand and that uses my skills, and I work with my friends, and, like, you know, it's just I'm so happy to be working. I can't even tell you. I just came from work and I don't know. I just love it. So I'm super happy I have a job. This morning before I went to work, I submitted my application for Obamacare and I will probably have health insurance for the first time in 7 years.
Wow.
And I am super excited about that. I'm super grateful for that opportunity. And this has been a tricky year. In terms of, I have a very small family and two of my family members are in hospice right now, which is rough, but I wasn't sure that I would have either one of them around Thanksgiving, and I have both of them still in like relatively good spaces, and that's fantastic. So I'm amazed that I've made it this far into the holiday season with my little family intact and getting to enjoy them, and also Ted's family. We just came from Thanksgiving yesterday in San Francisco, and I don't know, I'm just super grateful for my friends and family and loved ones.
Ted, what about you?
Well, I guess right now I'm thankful that I actually have, I feel like I'm lucky that I am able, you know, I've mentioned that I don't have a job right now because I quit the job that sucked for 14 years, and I'm grateful that I actually have the time to kind of reflect on what I want to be doing, and I'm kind of getting into different kinds of comedy things and kind of exploring other opportunities. So I'm just grateful to have time to do that, because I know a lot of people, it's really hard to kind of put the brakes on the job and not have a steady income for a while. So that's nice. I'm grateful for the kitten because he's only broken two lamps in the past few months. Very nice of him. No, it's nice. I'm just happy about our home, our cozy home with our three happy cats together, and me and Becca living happily together with our orange tree and garden. And yeah, coming back from Thanksgiving or pre-Thanksgiving with my family makes me very grateful to have a family that I can rely on and trust and know will be there for me when I need them and vice versa. So that's what occurs to me.
Even though a 7-year-old girl cleared us out of all of our gold chocolate coins at Dreidel yesterday. Like, Ted and I both lost every cent we had, every chocolate cent.
Yeah.
Well, I have a little dreidel. Woohoo!
She took all the dreidels, too. She did, but we have more at home. She was really good.
Dreidel, I made it out of clay. And when it's dry and ready, the dreidel I will play.
Ted doesn't look like he needs to hear the song again.
I didn't even know there was a second verse.
Oh, yeah.
Ted, you didn't teach me the rest of it.
Oh, it's you weren't ready.
You have to listen to Bare Naked for the holidays. But
that album features, to my knowledge, the only labor-themed Christmas carol ever written, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I better learn the rest of the words to the dreidel song before Judaism month is up at seminary. I'm in Judaism month at school right now, so it's important that I learn all these things.
Who isn't? And finally, Christiana, what are you thankful for this year?
I'm also thankful for my family. I'm thankful every day that my kid is healthy, because I sometimes fall into too many like sad blogs on the internet about kids who aren't healthy. So I pretty much would trade anything in the world to make sure that she was healthy. Like, I don't often pray for her happiness, 'cause I figure that'll come after. Like, I want her to be happy, but the thing I would, if I could give her one thing, it would just be health, because if you have that, you could do a lot. And if you don't, you can't. I don't know. This year has had its challenges as well. I'm thankful I have a job. I'm thankful that I haven't lost my job by sucking at it too much. thankful for having a supportive family while I bitch about career stuff and life paths and whatever. Fortunately, it's been a year of good health in my family, which I don't take for granted either. I'm thankful for my extracurriculars in life, which are where I derive a lot of satisfaction and happiness. So including the podcast and comedy, and especially I'm thankful for the Y, as much as it keeps me up at night and stresses me out. I'm thankful for working with high school kids that I do, because they're just cool. They are cool people. They are smart kids. It's nice to hang out with other like growing nerds. Some of the future is in like good nerdy hands, but they're an especially nice group this year, which I always appreciate, that they are good to each other. And it's nice to see them be grateful for each other and to have honest happiness at the success of their friends and the things that they're doing in their life. And that's cool to watch too. So
cool. I have one more thing I'm thankful for. Everybody who's buying their things on Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com. Thanks, everybody.
You're welcome.
It's so simple. You go to NateDarlingShow.com, click the Shop Amazon tab, and then shop Amazon as you normally would. Doesn't cost you anything extra. It does help support the show, and it keeps us here. It keeps us able to do the show for you, and we love doing it. So
I got my kids Christmas presents via the Amazon link.
I got Ted's Hanukkah present via the Amazon link. And, you know, Hanukkah is 8 days long and it hasn't started yet. So it's not too late for all you listeners to get Ted a Hanukkah present as well.
Yeah, if you have Prime and you order it tomorrow, it'll get there, well, probably like a Saturday at this point. But
well, by day three
plenty
of Hanukkah.
Plenty of days left.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Even just, yeah, just go free shipping. It might arrive in time. Just give me a present, guys. That's really, yeah. That's the lesson here.
That's the most important thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's grateful for presents.
Yeah. The only thing he's gotten is a typewriter while he's been here.
Right. That's,
and that's nothing.
He got this lovely sweater he's wearing yesterday for Hanukkah from his mom.
Thanks. Yeah. From mom gave to all.
Yes.
Okay. I made, it's not related to that, but I did make the mistake of going to the Disney store today.
Oh, no.
To pick up something for my kid. And
was it Thor's?
A lot of glitter. A lot of glitter at the Disney store. That's all I have to say.
Well, this music can only mean one thing. It's time for Florida Corner.
Hooray.
Yay. Let's start with the men. A Davy man has remained in the Broward County Jail, accused of attacking his girlfriend with her cat.
Oh.
That's right. Kenneth Stewart is charged with battery, resisting arrest, and tormenting an animal. He was arrested following an argument with his girlfriend. During the dispute, Broward Judge John J. Hurley noted that Stewart allegedly injured the woman with her own pet. She was lying on the bed, and you entered the bedroom holding something in your hand, head high, and she said you were yelling at her, "Look, it's going to die. It's got no air." And at that point, you threw the cat in her face. The cat scratched the left side of her face near her left eye, and her face was bleeding. He pushed her over, knocking the television and computer to the floor. When police got there, you said, "Just take me to jail. I'm tired of this." Later on, it says you changed your mind and allegedly said, "Okay, I'm sorry. I'm calm. You can let me go."
That's not how it works.
Yeah. Citing two previous convictions for battery, the judge set his bond at $16,500 with orders to stay away from his girlfriend and the cat. That's based on the level of violence and the court's concern for the safety of her and her cat. So it's good to see a judge looking out for the cat.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah, because, you know, that's the way things go.
It does.
That's really scary and sad. People who hurt animals, I don't know. It's not a good sign.
Well, throwing cats at people is a bad thing because cats, when you throw them at anything, what they want to do is grab onto it with their claws.
But it sounds like he was also trying to strangle it.
Yeah, it doesn't know. We don't know. But anyway, let's move on to something happier in Florida.
Please.
According to the Guinness World Records, the largest chocolate mousse was created in Florida.
Yum. That is happy. Was it vegan?
It's probably loaded with syringes and...
Records show that the new world record mousse was prepared during Aventura's Mall's annual chocolate festival in October. The mall announced the record title. Two chefs, along with culinary students, endured 5 hours of nonstop pastry preparation to create the mousse that weighed in at 496 pounds.
I really wanted this to be a giant chocolate mousse.
Oh.
But it's not. Uh-oh. So
no, I like this. I want to fall into it and make like a snow angel. And then just...
That would be fun.
Eat. Oh my God, I love chocolate mousse so much.
So the previous record was only 313 pounds. Only. What's in that world's largest chocolate mousse? Well, 66 pounds of butter, 108 pounds of chocolate, 24 pounds of egg yolk, 20 pounds of sugar, 50 quarts of heavy cream, and 5 gallons of milk.
Gross. Is that what's actually in chocolate mousse? I only eat vegan chocolate mousse.
I made a chocolate mousse. I think it must have happened during my absence, whatever. I made a chocolate mousse pie for a friend because he requested it for a party. Which I was like, that's jerky. I just said I'd bring dessert. I've never made a mousse before, but I made it and it was delicious. The secret ingredient was chili powder. P.S.
Mm.
Brilliant. But yeah, I was surprised to learn that the main components are ganache, which is what you make when you melt chocolate and mix it with a cream of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
Some humanely, voluntarily donated cream from a cow who just walked up and was like, "Here, seriously, I have too much. Take it."
Yeah, if you don't milk a cow, they get very uncomfortable.
Right. Having been a lactating mother. Yeah. I know. And then you mix it with kind of equal parts meringue and whipped cream.
Hmm.
So, yeah. That is what's in it.
If anyone lives in Sacramento, Magpie Cafe and Caterers makes an amazing non-dairy chocolate mousse, and it has like Himalayan sea salt and I think like cinnamon or something in it. There's a little bit of spice. It is really, really good.
What do they put in it? What makes it? What do they swap in?
It sounds bizarre, and I would never know this if they didn't tell me, but it's an avocado-based dish. But I would never know it if they didn't tell me, and it is really good.
Also, I would try that.
A Mexican
field trip
place near us called El Papagayo that makes a similarly delicious vegan mousse-type cake with avocado.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about El Papagayo's chocolate mousse cake.
Perfect. Field trip, field trip.
Yeah. Deliciousness.
Mousse off.
Well, one of the things about working at a TV station is you get photos and things from people sent in with weather events and things of that nature. And sometimes, usually they're appreciated, but sometimes you get the same thing. And, well, it happened in Denver, and the anchors kind of had something to say about it.
It doesn't matter if it's the first snow of the season or the last. When it snows in Colorado, our viewers start sending in photos. Hundreds of them come in with just one storm. And we can't help but notice most of them show one thing, snow-covered patio furniture. And that bugs one member of our team, Kyle Clark, who is joining us for a rare on-air editorial.
Kim, thank you.
I know. Okay.
Good afternoon, Colorado. Listen, you know I love you, but it is time that we had a talk about your snow-covered patio furniture.
Why is it that every time it snows, we whip out photos of our patio sets like we're showing off baby photos of our kids? Is that really the best we can do? We live in one of the most beautiful spots on Earth, but we point our cameras toward the back porch.
Because we're not going to go outside.
Yes, everyone is impressed. You have a four-piece set. We saw it at Costco, too. Chair covers? Somebody got a raise. A grill? Nice. Three grills? Easy there, Bobby Flay. Is that a gazebo? Okay, that's kind of cool. But let's be more original the next time the snow flies. You can still feature your patio set, but if you like it, then you should have put a thing on it, like a disgruntled dog or your husband drinking a beer. Better yet, how about an action shot of the dog or the husband? You don't even have to turn the photo right side up. Just crop out the patio set. Oh, so close on this one. Listen, I know why we take photos of snow-covered patio sets. It's easy. Point your camera out the window and click. But are we really a state that takes the easy way out? We blasted a road through the Rockies. We put a cliff inside a Mexican restaurant. Our welcome sign is a demon horse with crazy laser eyes. We don't do easy around here. And you know what else? Coloradans are too optimistic to live in a prison of patio sets. What a sad way to celebrate the new season.
Well, guess we can't sit outside on those anymore.
If we asked you for pictures of springtime, would you really send us a photo of your skis in a closet? No, it's depressing. Come on, Colorado. We love winter. We own winter.
So let's see some photos that look like it next time it snows. Please, yeah. I'm begging you.
Lazy.
Tired of looking at patio furniture.
That is the single best usage of local news I have ever seen.
It's really good.
In my nearly 35 years on this earth.
So yeah, no more pictures of your patio furniture, please, to News 9 in Denver.
So Nate, you know, having worked in TV news for quite some time, what kind of cliche photos do we get in Sacramento?
Well, it's not quite the same, but
hail on patio furniture?
Well, normally you get a blown over patio furniture.
Yeah.
When the wind blows. when the snow pictures come in from the Sierra and places where they do snow, yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
Same sort of thing. But what they will normally do is you'll get somebody who goes outside and they will have shoveled their way out a little bit, and then they'll take a picture of the giant pile of snow and how deep it is on the roof of their house or their car. So that you can see how much there is there. But yeah, it snows a lot more in Colorado than it does here, obviously. But that was one of the amusing things. But yeah, I mean, people tend to have the same sort of idea. They're like, oh, I'm watching TV and TV wants me to send a picture of the snow where I am. So I'm going to stay here where it's warm and shoot out the back door as opposed to going out and doing that. But yeah, every now and then you get pets, though, which is always fun. So anyway, this is old news now, but Justin Bieber was spotted at a brothel in Brazil. And Did you hear about this?
Yeah.
Were you excited?
I was excited.
I was not excited. No.
I was like, yeah, Bieber.
Bieber. You're rich and you're young and you're...
paying people for sex. Maybe they did it for free for him. I don't know.
No, I don't know. I mean, he can afford it. It's not like he...
He can, but he doesn't need to pay for it, does he?
I don't know. Does he?
I don't think he does. I know his monkey's gone, but still, he should get some
action. That never... Whether or not someone needs to pay for it has never stopped people from going to hookers.
It's true.
I guess that's
true. I feel like I should be able to list a bunch of politicians, but... Or Hugh Grant. There you go.
I guess, yeah. Hugh
Grant, Elliot Spitzer.
Lots of people.
Okay. Although Hugh Grant probably a lot more. Well, I don't know. A powerful politician like Elliot Spitzer probably can get plenty of tail if he wants to.
Maybe some people just enjoy the transactional element.
Yeah, you can
supporting local commerce. As it were. Basically, here's what I think. Justin Bieber, when he travels to other countries, here's what he does. he makes a scene in public where his bodyguards do something they shouldn't. He then graffitis something. And
usually there's a monkey involved at some point.
And he goes to a hooker. Those are his, that's his trifecta. That's his thing.
Did you see the picture of his bodyguards like carrying him up the Great Wall of China?
I did. It was fantastic.
I didn't.
They were carrying up?
They were carrying him up the stairs of the Great Wall. I don't know.
Incapacitated?
I don't know. I've walked part of the Great Wall of China. It wasn't that strenuous.
Dude, you're a kid.
Well, you know what, Ted?
Did they hold his penis while he was doing a prostitute?
Well,
probably not.
I don't know.
So we better not ask some of these things.
Yeah.
I think those are important questions.
I don't know. 18 yet?
I think I have Bieber bias, honestly. Everything I hear about him, I'm just like, I'm sure the explanation for this is terrible. Like, I don't give him the benefit of the doubt at all. And
he's
that's
anti-Kanye.
Really yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like an egotistical douche that I'm not amused by.
We're going to talk about Kanye next show, by
the way. Yay. I love talking about Kanye.
We're going to talk about him. But anyway, yeah, the picture of him being carried up the Great Wall by his bodyguards was a moment that was kind of awesome in its terribleness, because I'm thinking, wow, he's got so much money. He can just go, hey, dude. Carry me up the Great Wall. And the guy's like, all right, boss.
Somewhat like my 3-year-old.
Right.
I'm tired. My legs are tired. I can't walk anymore.
Know that feeling, kid. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of how it goes. But, all right. Let me do this here. Sorry. You know, if the show's moving a little bit slower than it normally does, I apologize. There are a few technical things. I haven't done a show in 3 weeks, so it's the first one back.
Yeah, people.
So settle down. You didn't pay for it.
We'll give you a refund.
Yeah, right. It's still free. It's still free. And it's time for Small Town News. Yay! And not only are we giving you Small Town News, we're giving you some Speak Out.
Yay! Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
We're really back, you guys.
Uh-huh.
I love Speak Out so much. What did Bob do to offend everyone this week?
Yeah, Bob.
Hold on a second. Since you said that, I have to find this, because this is awesome. I have the Sky Mall catalog in my hand here.
Excellent.
Let's see if I can find this.
I actually got a Hammacher Schlemmer catalog in the mail, which I didn't even know existed outside of like Sky Mall. But it was just as you could get like a $15,000 Formula One car replica or something. Oh, that's ridiculous. Oops.
But they have...
Not with an engine.
No.
Just a model.
I'm not going to get that. Let's see if I can get that. But if you ordered on the Nate Darling Show, we get a lot of...
not on Sky Mall.
I'm saying if we got through the Amazon, if they sold it through Amazon.
They sell a lot of things on Amazon. Here's what I notice about the...
.com?
Here's what I notice about the Sky Mall. Anything in here that's ridiculous, they refer to it as the latest craze.
Yep.
And so dullards on a plane go, oh, well, if it's a craze, I must be involved with it.
Dullards on a plane.
I love Sky Mall,
the most anticipated sequel to Snakes on a Plane.
It's the best thing to look at, right?
It sort of is. I'm not going to be able to find it.
You're
now.
You're shuffling papers.
I
like
know.
Rush Limbaugh.
I'm Rush Limbaugh.
Save it for the next show. Save it for the next show, or the moment will be gone.
That's the Rush Limbaugh.
I know.
Sounds.
Well, I love it. They have the Magic Benefit panty. It enhances bottom naturally.
What does it have to do with Bob?
Removable padding to adjust contour. Ultra flat seams for invisible look.
Look
nothing.
Healthier than you are.
That's totally going to end up on SkyMall. Like, somebody has visible panty lines and
has
it's unprofessional.
It has nothing to do with Bob. I'm quickly trying to find this. But they had t-shirts in here that, and of course, because I want to find them, I'm not going to be able to find them. But basically, they were blame Bob t-shirts.
Oh, Bob.
How funny.
Bob is.
I didn't know that was a thing. Here's, I thought it, I was clever.
Oh, I may be close. Dan you is the man. Oh, good God. They've got a whole t-shirt selection here. I didn't get this
like
far into
four
it.
Four pages of t-shirts.
I know. Oh, here we go. Here, found
gifts
it.
Gifts for Bob.
Gifts for Bob. And here are some of them. Here's t-shirt number one. Bob is Bob spelled backwards.
It's true.
Of course I'm right. I'm Bob. Do not question. It says question authority, but do not question Bob. Bob, the man, the myth, the legend. There's a Mrs. Bob shirt. And then Bob's Arb Candy.
What?
I wish we knew Bob's last name and address. I would send him these for moral support.
And they have, they've got Bob ice cube tray where you can make ice cubes that say Bob.
We need that for the next party, you guys.
And the best one, Bob's affirmation box, which when you listen, when you open it up, a voice says, looking good, Bob. You sure are sexy, Bob. Way to go, Bob. And you're the man, Bob.
Nice. Now, why do all... I don't understand why they only have this for Bob. Are there so many Bobs that they're like, there's a market for this? Or is Bob like code for something else that I don't understand?
I don't know.
There's a shirt that says SOB for sweet old Bob.
There you go. Well, you brought up Bob and that
I did.
Struck my... Anyway, back to Speak Out.
All right.
Cans. Who are you to say that someone should remove their garbage cans the same day it gets picked up?
Bob.
Probably like code control.
It's code it's my property and I shall do whatever I want to. If I feel like painting my house pink, I will do so.
You might have a planning commission problem. I don't know how things work there.
Hey, what the heck does Obama have to do with the 16 mass shootings between 2008 and 2011?
He's behind them all.
He's the most anti-gun president since Bill Clinton. Maybe you should do some research before you make ignorant comments.
Since Bill Clinton, that's like two presidents ago.
Bob.
Yeah.
It's not that long.
Signs. I have an idea how to use all those campaign signs after the elections. I use them for my yard sale signs. They have the wires to put them in the ground. Just add your sign and cover with plastic to protect the information.
Bob.
Steal. That's definitely steal and repurpose.
Hey, racism needs to stop.
Bob.
Hey. Sorry. Way to go out on a limb. Hating someone because of their skin color or sexual orientation is getting old. Also, one of them is not racism. I was at the grocery store last night ready to check out when an elderly man armed with groceries...
Armed with groceries? Oh, no.
So sorry I laughed loud.
Cut me in line without apologizing and uttered the N-word. Hateful people.
Did he cut her with groceries? What was happening?
Well, I don't know, but if you cut in line and mutter the N-word, I think that's probably grounds for complaint and speak out.
But it said he cut her in line, like... With sharp groceries, I'm guessing.
Oh, we don't know if it's a man or a woman that was cut in
line.
That's
true. Hey, I'm sorry for...
Hey, I think the message board in front of the Peru Fire Department is great. They've put things to do for Halloween. However, they do not have the house on Telegraph Street listed. I wish they would. Wow. We stopped there a lot during Halloween and, and they have a lot to look at.
What?
Okay.
It's true. Hey, let's do some bonus speak out.
Yay!
Hey, you know bicyclists like motorcyclists should have to take driver's tests and pay a license fee and insurance premiums to ride the city streets? They're the weak link in the accident chain. Chicago's doing it. It's been done in Europe for decades. No, it hasn't.
I like that Europe, just generally. Yeah. Just all the countries.
Who pays bicycle insurance, like motor vehicle insurance? Nobody.
It's not being done in Chicago. It hasn't been done in Europe. You fucking dullard. That would be like charging you to walk on the sidewalk, you jackhole.
Pedestrians are the weak link in the accident chain. True. Everybody knows that.
Hey, how can we... allow the ultra-rich left to govern our lives.
Ultra-rich left,
all right. Mm-hmm. Mainly because they have control of the immigration issue, where the votes are illegally tendered by aliens who have no right to vote.
Oh, my God.
Be assured,
are they talking about Canadians? I mean, this is New York.
Be assured that our Constitution is being breached by a socialist movement.
Oh, be assured.
Hey, hype over the Obamacare issue is slowing down our ability to conduct normal governmental issues. Are the rich and misguided Democrats willing to let our country be a nation of equals?
What?
What's the matter with being a nation of equals? I don't... What?
Bob.
Hey, a recent Speak Out correspondent seems to be lamenting the lack of a football team at Seton and PHS. I say good for them. Not only are they saving a tremendous amount of money, but they're also not subjecting their students to the risk of serious injury, including concussion.
Bob.
By the way, with regards to tipping, some customers are generous tippers and some are not. Thanks. Your employer relies on both to keep its doors open. It's a hazard of the trade. Take the bad with the good.
It's
it's a hazard
of the trade. Sure, that there are good tippers and bad tippers.
They're the weak link of tipping.
Hey, you want to know who to vote for in every election? Whoever is not on the signs in the yards of the rich homes in your town.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What if you're the rich person? Like, there's no rich
person. The rich people live in gated communities. You can't check anyone.
Oh, brother.
Yeah. By the way, ask your pharmacist before you get your flu shot. They're charging a fee to give you your shot. I was shocked to find my pharmacy is charging a $15 fee.
That's
where
what?
Do you get a free flu shot?
Well, I actually got one at work. It was free.
Oh.
But
I would assume that you go to the pharmacy, they expect free shots.
Yeah, apparently.
I've never heard of the pharmacy giving free anything.
Yeah, I have to pay. I went to the doctor. I still have to pay.
They give you free attitude at the pharmacy.
Yeah.
I think they do. Yeah, attitude for days. And finally, don't like that evil socialism that is the national health care proposal. They do not ever use Medicare or Medicaid, both nationalized health programs run by the government. And I hope you aren't getting Social Security, another socialized government program. Take that, old people. Ha-ha, ha-ha, ha-ha.
Yeah.
Huh?
Bob.
Yeah.
Old man Bob. Bob Sr.
So let's speak out. It's quite an eclectic group of people they have in Plattsburgh, New York.
Really, just, really.
I didn't get over to see them at all, but yeah, good for them. So there they are. And because it's Thanksgiving, our Thanksgiving show, thank you to the audience for listening. We do appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend, family member, or a coworker about the show and helping the show grow and for shopping on Amazon. So, being that it's Thanksgiving and it's Hanukkah, we are going to leave you with
a Thanksgiving carol.
Hey, stay safe on Black Friday, everybody.
Stay home on Black Friday,
it starts
everybody.
On Thursday now, so stay safe on Thanksgiving.
And enjoy the Hanukkah song. Bye then, people. We'll see you on Friday.
Songs out there and, not too many Hanukkah songs, so wrote a song for all those nice little Jewish kids who don't get to hear any Hanukkah songs. Here we go. Put on your yarmulke. So much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the festival of lights. Instead of one day of presents, we have eight crazy nights. When you feel like the only kid in town without a Christmas tree, here's a list of people who are Jewish, just like you and me. David Lee Roth lights the menorah. So do James Caan, Kirk Douglas, and the late Dinah Shore. Guess who eats together at the Carnegie Deli? Bowser from Sha-na-na and Arthur Fonzarelli. Paul Newman's half Jewish, Goldie Hawn's half too. Put them together, what a fine looking Jew. Spin a dreidel with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, both Jewish. Put on your yarmulke, it's time for Hanukkah. The owner of the Seattle Supersonicas celebrates Hanukkah. O.J. Simpson, not a Jew. But guess who is? Hall of Famer Rod Carew. He converted. We got Ann Landers and her sister, dear Abby. Harrison Ford's a quarter Jewish, not too shabby. Some people think that Ebenezer Scrooge is. Well, he's not, but guess who is? All three Stooges. So many Jews are in showbiz. Tom Cruise isn't, but I heard his agent is. Tell your friend Veronica, it's time to celebrate.
this lovely, lovely Hanukkah. So drink your gin and tonica and smoke your marijuana. If you really, really want a car, have a happy, 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 happy Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah.